thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
And so I want to tell you again a little bit about what I hope to be able to do during our times together on Wednesdays. I want to look at a chronological view, as I said earlier, a chronological study of the Scriptures. And when I say chronological study, some of you may not be aware of exactly what that might infer or communicate. A chronological study of the Scripture would simply be to look at the Bible and study it in the sequence of events in which they occurred. So questions come up like where does Samuel fit in to the overall larger context of the Old Testament? Did Samson live before or after King Josiah? When did the events surrounding the Tower of Babel occur? What happened prior to or shortly after the flood? In relation to the Exodus, when did Abraham live, or when did Samson or Gideon? Where all these stories that we've heard, maybe you've been taken to church and you've heard and you've maybe even read a lot of the Old Testament, and there's a lot of stories in your mind, and you've got all these jumbled up collection of stories that you've learned from the Old Testament, but without the full picture that God has painted coming into view. These are just individual pieces of a puzzle, these stories of the flood, the story of Samson, the story of Gideon, the story of the judges, and the story of the kings, and David, and Goliath. And you have all these stories, but can you put them into a larger context? Can you see the Old Testament in its chronological revelation as God worked with man throughout the history of the Old Testament? Can you see him working all through that time? And I believe that seeing this full picture unlocks and opens up a great many spiritual truths and confidence and faith. And it shows us again God's mercy, his grace, his judgment, his justice. One of the things that's a great danger in our world today is that people overemphasize or de-emphasize a certain character or attribute of God. God is both loving and merciful and gracious, but he is also righteous and holy and just. And these things must come together. God is not at odds with himself. And when we see the Old Testament and we see a God who judges, a God who brings judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the entire world in the flood, but then we also see mercy and grace as he clothes Adam and Eve in the garden, we get a greater and a more accurate picture of this infinite God of heaven and earth. And so when we have bits and pieces of the story from the Old Testament specifically, we get an unbalanced view, or at least we can. We can be in danger of having an unbalanced view of this God that we talk about from Scripture. Some will emphasize just his judgment, his wrath, and they will overemphasize that without balancing it with his love and his mercy and his grace. Some will also then emphasize maybe his love and his mercy and his grace, and they'll remove his wrath and his justice and his righteousness, and they'll say God would never send anyone to hell. But the Scriptures don't reveal that. The Scriptures show that indeed he will. Indeed judgment is coming upon man. And so how do we understand this God? Well, he's told us about himself in the Bible. He has revealed himself to us in the Scripture. When we read these stories of the Old Testament that are more than stories, but historical events that actually occurred, Jonah truly went to Nineveh and spoke a sermon and warned them of the coming judgment of God. And so you see God's judgment there, and then you see that 8 days later that the entire city repented and God showed mercy and grace. You see these things, and you can put them together, and you can understand more about this God, and then you can put them together in what it means for you as a lost sinner, or even if you already know the Lord, you've been saved and regenerated and redeemed, and you have a time and a place when you know that you met God, then you can know better how to serve Him and how to love Him and how to honor Him with your life, which is what your life is about, by the way. It's not about gaining anything in this world. God blesses us at times, and maybe we do gain some things in this life, but they are all to be returned to Him. Your life is a life that's been given to you by the God of heaven and earth to honor Him and to love Him, to come to know Him and to serve Him. And your life will not have meaning outside of that. All other things will fade away, and they will prove to be unsatisfactory. They will not be fulfilling. They may be for a time. Maybe you're in the midst of a time where you've given yourself to some other thing, and maybe it's satisfying for now, but it will run out one day, very soon. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's some other thing. All these things will come to an end one day, and we want to be ready for that. And so as we look at this chronological study, the point and the purpose is not for us merely to add intellectual knowledge to our minds, but it is to then give us a greater awareness and understanding of the God who wrote this Bible. So we're going to take a good deal of time. As I said earlier, every other Wednesday, we hope to be able to come and be with you live in a setting like this where we can speak to you live here. And we're going to take that time and look at the scriptures in a chronological way, in a sequence of events, what happened in the order in which it's given. Our Bibles are not given in chronological order, the Old Testament specifically, and God didn't intend for them to be necessarily, but He did show, and in the Old Testament, if we look at it chronologically, we see His work throughout history. This time together is going to be survey in nature. There's certainly, we would be here for decades, and decades if we were going to go very deeply into any one of these particular areas of the Old Testament. And many people and many men and women have given their lives to the study of God's Word and barely scratched the surface. And so we also want to note here that this study is going to be what you might call a survey. Our hope is to provide you with a framework of the entire Old Testament, so that at the end of our study together, you will be able to take the entire framework and take that framework of the Old Testament and continue your own study of the Old Testament to fill in the picture with even greater detail, greater color, greater meaning. The Bible is a book that God wants all of us to individually read and study. It's not just for the preacher. It's for you and it's for me. Even the Apostle Paul said that every person, everyone, he said, should be persuaded, and this is his quote, in his own mind. So this today is about what you believe. God knows you. He created you on purpose. You're not a mistake. You are an intended, purposed life that God has given. And God has written a book, and He has allowed us to read it, and He wants you to read it. It is good for preachers to preach. God has ordained that to happen. It is good for us to give the sense of the scriptures, as Ezra was said to have done in the Old Testament, to try to explain it and to give examples and to exhort and encourage people to follow the Lord. But this Bible is for you to open up and read and think and pray and meditate and ponder and consider for yourself. So we want to look at the Old Testament, and it's going to be a survey course together. As we, I've often said, we go over this material, it's like flying over the earth at 30,000 feet, and we're going to fly across the Old Testament together as we look at the history of the Old Testament and a chronological view of this Old Testament. And as we do so, our study will be broken up into 9 major periods of study. We're going to look at the creation, obviously, to begin, when God created the world. Then we're going to look at the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, We're going to study how God interacted with them. We're going to study about God's call of Abraham and various other events that occurred during that time. Job, the book of Job occurs, or Job lived during this period of time in the patriarchs. So from the creation stage first to the patriarch stage second, we then move into the Exodus stage when God's people were in bondage to the Egyptians for 400 years. We're going to study that time, and we're going to study their Exodus as God took them out of Egypt. And then the next stage that we'll study, the fourth stage, is the conquest stage under Joshua as they finished their 40 years of wandering after being in the wilderness for their unbelief. After being delivered from Egypt, they then ultimately and finally move into the stage where they take over the promised land, or at least a good part of it that God had called them to. And so we're going to study that conquest stage. And that'll be, again, Joshua and Caleb and the others that led during that time. After the conquest stage comes the judges stage. So this is a very familiar portion of scripture with Samson and Gideon and Othniel and all and these other judges that God set up in the kingdom of Israel. And then we move into the United Kingdom stage. So Israel appoints their first king, King Saul, and we'll talk about the period of time that Israel was a single nation, united under a single king, and there were only three of them, Saul and David and Solomon. And we're going to talk about the events that happened during those times, and then from there we move to the divided kingdom. So Israel, at one point, you may know this, was divided up into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And that occurred, of course, after the United Kingdom. And when Jeroboam comes on the throne of the northern kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom divides, we're going to study that time. And then the exile, when Babylon comes and exiles the southern kingdom of Judah. You know, we're going to study about Daniel and the time that he spent in Babylon and in the court of Nebuchadnezzar and his three friends. And this is when the Daniel in the lion's den occurs. This is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and we're going to study that time. So there's 70 years of exile. And then finally, we'll get to the end of our study on the Old Testament chronological survey, and we'll see God being faithful to his promise, and the people under Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel and others, they return from exile, and they return to Israel in the promised land. Why would we go through this, though? What is the purpose again? Again, I can't stress enough that God told a unified story in the Old Testament. It was one single view that we ought to get from the Old Testament. But again, we often miss that overall flow of the story, because as we open our Bibles and we begin to read, if you read from front to back, if you read from the Genesis to Malachi in the way that most English Bibles are given, you will not be reading a chronological view. That's not a bad thing necessarily. It's not something that we should be overly concerned about. But what I would like to do again is to take that and let's look together at how God worked in the world from the beginning of time when he called everything into existence to the time that they returned from exile and everything in between. And we see this full picture, this flow of history, and a great many connections are made when we consider the Old Testament from a chronological viewpoint. So finally today, final remarks for my side of things today. I want to give you just a quick format of our time together. So every other Wednesday, again, we'll be meeting weekly, we'll be meeting every other week, and we will have 30 minutes of a lesson. I will kind of speak to whatever period of time we will be studying in that lesson. And so we'll take about 30 minutes for that, and then every other Wednesday, each broadcast will reserve about 15 minutes for your questions and answers at the end of the lesson, and you can call into the station and ask your questions. This will be a time where we will do as the Apostle Paul would do, and as we read in the New Testament, that he would go into the synagogues or he would go to the philosophers of his day on Mars Hill in Acts 17, and he would reason together with people out of the Scriptures. So we want to take that 15 minutes and reason together and to think together and to ask questions and to provide answers as best as we can. In each of these lessons as well, I certainly want to bring out what we might call a salvation and focus section. So in addition to the specific lesson material that we'll cover, we're going to look at a salvation and focus section each time. This will typically come at the end of the lesson and will be a time for us to consider what can be learned about salvation in the specific material studied during each lesson. The Bible from cover to cover tells the story of redemption through Jesus Christ. Unlike any other major religion in the world, it is Christianity alone that speaks of salvation because of what God has done and not because of what we as people might do. See, my salvation does not rest on my good works. It is not dependent on my perfection, and neither is yours. And we need to be joyful over that, because if it did rely on us, we would have no hope. If it relied on me, I would have no hope. If it relied on you, you would have no hope. If you were to tap someone on the shoulder today, this cannot be done. But if we could, if you could speak to someone in heaven right now, if you could turn them around and say, why are you here? What did you do that made it possible for you to be here? Why are you here in heaven? Not one of those people that you might ask that are walking in heaven now would point to their own works as to why they are here. They would not begin telling you of all the good things they did in their life to get to heaven. They would point to Jesus Christ, the light of the city, the one that all of creation will bow before, and they will say, because of him, I am here. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, we read of a number of people, and this is a fearful thing, but in Matthew 7, Jesus speaks about a number of people who will come to him, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? And Jesus says that he is going to tell these people to depart from him because he did not know them. What's interesting is that those people who are going to be cast aside from Christ, he is going to look at and judge and say, I never knew you. They were depending upon what they had done. But that's not the plan of salvation. And the Old Testament shows us this again and again and again. It is what Christ has done for them, not what they have done for him. Salvation relies on the strength and perfection of Christ, and it is the greatest story that has ever been told, and we will see this in each lesson. There is something that shows us God's plan for salvation, from the flood to the Exodus to King David and Saul and Samson and all of these other things that are in the Old Testament. We are going to see a lesson and a truth about the salvation of a fallen man. So again, as good as it might be to increase your knowledge of the Old Testament, and I hope that our times together, that will happen, that you will have a greater awareness and a greater knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament. I hope that there's something inside of you, particularly certainly if you are a believer, if you do know the Lord, that would be excited about such a time as this, as we could come together and read the Scripture and reason together and think about God and His Word. But as good as that might be, and as helpful as that might be, it would ultimately prove to be pointless and really quite useless if we did not map that knowledge, if we did not connect that knowledge back to the plan of redemption. Because again, from the opening chapter of Genesis to the closing chapter of Revelation, this book, this Bible, is about God's plan for fallen men, what He has done to see to it that we might be saved.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.